1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You are very welcome to Liveline. Katie Hannan with you until 3 o'clock today. Now, I want you to tap into your emotions and think about, how does this make you feel?
And his pace again telling. It's Sterling. And he goes down, and a penalty it is. Another of those little fouls. And Raheem Sterling's persistence brings a penalty kick to England. Semi-final of the European Championship. Harry Kane against Kasper Schmeichel. Saves. Score.
Now, how about a little bit of this? Louise Hassan.
How are you doing, Katie? All right?
How does that make you feel, Louise?
Oh, so good. Brilliant. I'm still a bit hoarse, actually, from shouting at the TV. I can't believe I'm alive. I had about 40 minutes where I couldn't breathe during that match. So, yeah, brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. First final of an English football final in my lifetime, and I'm 52, so...
Yeah, it's a really, really big deal for any English person anywhere in the world. But you're in our part of the world, Louise. And
unfortunately, yeah.
You think that is unfortunate?
Yeah, and I've lived here 20 years and supported every Irish team that plays. But none of my friends wanted England to win last night. And woke up to Twitter this morning and it was just sad, really, you know, because no... Just so much, and even watching, and I had to watch it on RT2. When I realised it wasn't on BBC One, I knew I was in for a really bad night because I knew it was going to be so negative, and it was. Like Raheem Sterling dived, the goalkeeper was so bad, the team was generally rubbish. It was just so so hard to watch such a brilliant match with such negative. We really don't want them to win connotations. So,
but was it not a more realistic commentary than perhaps the BBC, where we're really, really caught up in the moment and maybe would not be able to take the step back and question whether the penalty really was a penalty?
But that's what the ref and VAR is there for. So, do you know what I mean? It's not like all the English fans are saying, absolutely, Stonewall penalty. Do you know, the ref is there. They brought VAR in. Do you know, and if it was Ireland playing and it was one of the, you know, an Irish striker, they're not going to pick the ball up, give it back to the opposing team and say, sorry, mate, you got it wrong. Do you know, don't bother with the penalty.
Okay, so just so we know where we stand, Louise, you are 100%... on for 100%, that was a penalty.
Yeah, and then I got it on Twitter this morning that someone had shone a laser light into Kasper Schmeichel's eyes.
Well, that's not just Twitter now, Louise. To be fair, UEFA are actually looking into this and talking about disciplinary proceedings
whatever.
In relation to it.
Okay, all right. Okay. Oh, God.
And
what are they going to do? You know?
You must have had your heart in your mouth with Pickford a few times last night.
He's an Everton player. I'm a big, huge Manchester United fan, so he wouldn't be my number one choice goalkeeper. But he's playing for England, so of course I'm behind all of the English teams. You know, I didn't agree with Southgate not putting on substitutes until into extra time. So you could be critical, but without being the commentary after the match from the RT team was just dire. It was just, I actually turned it off. I thought, no, I'm going to celebrate on my own, you know.
And why do you think you're on your own, Louise, in this, and that your friends, even your friends...
My friends don't know, nobody. When it comes to sport, like in England, it's like we don't support them, you know. It's 800 years of oppression, and I get all of that, and I'm just like, oh my God, it's football. You know, I'm not, I wasn't here 800 years ago. It's a match. You know, like, come on, guys. You know.
Do you think it is lighthearted, sports-related, or is it revealing of something deeper?
No, it's much deeper, because, like, on Sunday, I'd really love to go out with my England shirt on and put my England flag on the balcony of where I live and just really enjoy the day, and I just couldn't, you know, because I just wouldn't.
What would you think might happen?
I just wouldn't. You know, I wouldn't get, like, I'm not saying I'd be assaulted or anything, but I would definitely say 99% of Irish people will be cheering Italy on Sunday night.
I think you might be right, Louise.
I know, it's really sad. It's awful. I've lived here 20 years and I'm like, I cheer every Irish match, you know. My daughter would have worn Irish jerseys when, you know, they're playing in the matches, all of that stuff. But when it comes to an England match, oh, really, honestly, the negative view of England just getting anywhere. And, like, for us, it's so amazing to be in a final and, you know, like, but not... I see so many people with flags, you know, Polish flags, you know, other flags, and it's great, you know, that they really get into the spirit of it, but I really wouldn't put an English flag on the balcony. Definitely wouldn't.
Well, when you talk about the commentary last night and that you had to switch it off and it was so negative, but I mean, the most negative commentator on the RTÉ panel was the German, was Didi.
He dived. It was a disgrace.
But is that not, you know, coming from a position of a professional watching a match and not an Irish person watching an English match?
Well, it's, you know, to be fair, they're on RT2, you know, he's on an RT2 panel. If I was watching it on BBC or on ITV channel, like, you wouldn't have had that absolute negative, Pickford is rubbish, give him a two. It was a stonewall, like, dive. It was just, I just thought, come on, guys, like, a little bit of, like, we've just got into the final of European Championship for the first time in, you know, in my lifetime. You know, give the guys some credit, but it was just awful. It was awful. And then Twitter, and then Niall Breslin put on Twitter this morning, it was shameful that the English fans booed the Denmark team during the anthems.
Yes, was it not shameful, though?
It's not. It's football. Are you saying that if we'd played it in Denmark, the Denmark fans would have stood in silence while the English anthem was playing?
I do think they would. Louise, I have to say that I think any time that there is an incident where there is booing during a national anthem in any sport would be picked up by the media, would be picked up and seen as not on.
It's not rugby. This is football. You know, it's different. It really is. It's just so... There's none of that. Like, it's not because we hate Denmark. It's just... We're in the semi-final of a huge football match. Of course they're going to boo. It's at Wembley. You've got a percentage of English fans. We don't really... It didn't mean anything at all. It doesn't mean we hate Denmark. It's just a foot... At the end of the day, it is a foot... It's just a football game. It's a football game. But the level of English, you know...
Anti-English.
Oh, God. Can't believe the English won. Why is everybody in Ireland going to support Italy on Sunday night? I just really would love to know why.
Okay, will you stay there, Louise? We'll try and find out.
Yes.
Can I bring John in? John O'Byrne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yeah, it's funny the way when you are a supporter of one team or one country, you see things with blinkers on you. Like, England came and played Ireland in Crow Park in rugby. We did not boo their national anthem. We stood in silence and listened to it. England football team came to Lansdowne Road quite a long time ago and caused a riot, but we still didn't boo their national anthem. You know, people who think that sort of the reason why we don't support England, why would we support England? Tell me one reason we would support them. They brought us everything from the Great Hunger to Bloody Sunday. They still occupy part of my country. So why would I want to support them?
Oh, God.
Yeah, but tell me why I would want to support England.
Are you asking me?
Yes.
Are you asking me about the Great Famine and...
No,
and
I'm asking you, why you would expect an Irish person to support England. Why not Wales or Scotland? They're our nearest neighbours.
Okay, I'm gonna give you a background. Okay, so I was brought up in England. Okay, and we didn't have any education on Irish history at all in school. And it was only till I moved here that I understood Irish politics, or the Irish, you know, what had happened with English colonialism in Ireland, and how awful that was.
And it's still happening.
And is. And I agree with you. And I absolutely agree with a united Ireland. And I would say, if you ask most English people, they would as well. So, do you know what I mean? This is not about politics. It's just about football. It really is just about football.
But why would I want to support English football? I'm Irish. Why would I want to support an English team?
Well, why would you support Italy over England? You know, you're not Italian, but you'll support Italy. Why would you support Italy then?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't go out of my way to support Italy, other than the Italians are in the fish and chip shops here that I know locally, and I would give them encouragement. But
John, can I put you that the largest number of non-Irish people who live in Ireland are English people?
Oh, that's a good one. I don't know. I'd say there's probably more Polish people.
No, there isn't actually.
I'll take your word for it. But I still ask the question. I mean, that woman is asking, why don't we support England? And I'm asking in reverse, why should we? Why should we possibly want to support an English football team?
Why would I support the Irish football team?
That's a personal thing to yourself. If you wish to support any team...
No. All my friends are Irish. I live in Ireland. I love Ireland. Of course, I want Ireland to be successful. I would put my daughter in Irish kit. I want her to be, you know, we've lived here for 20 years. I'm not Irish, but I support, of course, the Irish football team.
And listen, I appreciate that. And I think it's wrong that you couldn't walk out with your English jersey on you. Now, I know rugby is a slightly different game, but lots of the English football or English rugby supporters come here. They wear their English jerseys when the pubs used to be open, if we remember that, and they came into the pubs and we all had a good time. But there wasn't one Irish person who was going to support England. And, we have one thing in common. You gave us your language because you took ours away from us. And that's the only thing we actually have in common, is the language.
We have more in common with
the Scots and the Welsh because they're Celts.
This is actually what I get all the time living in Ireland.
But that's because
all
it's
the
true.
Time.
Do you get this all the time, Louise?
All the time. 800 years of English oppression. You caused us to the famine. And I'm like, I was born in 1968. I didn't know anything about it. Do you know what I mean? Like, my daughter has got absolutely no idea of the history. I just think it's just easy.
Isn't it shameful to know anything about it?
English people didn't
know their history. They were only taught the part of history that the English wanted you to know about. Your colonial history was wiped underneath the carpet. All the things from slavery right up to dividing countries like India, creating Palestine.
You're right.
The English are not liked around the world.
And there's a reason for that.
John,
I listen to it all the time. It's just so awful. Can you imagine being English, living in Ireland, and having that thrown at you all the time? It's really tough. You can't even enjoy a football match without it being 800 years of oppression. Of course, we don't want England to win. It's awful. Do you not see that that's just what that's like for me? Just to be a fan of a football match, and then the next day you go onto the radio and a guy says, of course we don't support England because you're all awful. You made us have the English language and 800 years of oppression. And how depressing that is. Because what can I actually do about it? Or say.
But it's, I mean, I know, have we lost John there? John's line, I think John has just gone for a moment. But I wonder, what John was saying there, is that the view though, Louise? And if that, have we moved on sometime?
I don't think the Irish haven't. The English certainly have. But the Irish really haven't. I understand now, living in Ireland and having been to university, knowing the history of Ireland, knowing not just Ireland, but India, Africa, the colonial oppression of so many countries. But like when it, I'm not talking about the history of Ireland, I'm talking about a football match.
Yeah.
Okay. And why I can't put an English flag or an English shirt on Sunday.
Let me bring in...
And that's why.
Louise, let me bring in Mick. Mick, good afternoon.
Hi, Katie.
You don't support England or won't support England either?
No, I won't support the English team. I'm not anti-English. I think the day that we didn't boo the English national anthem in Croke Park was the day that we really grew up as a country. I don't agree with that caller there, the lady saying that we haven't changed. I think most of us have. I'm not talking about 800 years of history. That is history. But I think comments like she said, of course we boo their national anthem. That's the type of arrogance that unfortunately makes Irish people not want to support the English team.
Oh God.
Louise?
I actually don't know how to reply. I really don't. Because if we're in Spain, we'd have booed the Spain. You know, like, do you think
that right.
Spain wouldn't have booed me? Like, maybe the Irish are so, you know, are great at sports matches, and you just don't boo the other team, and you're really respectful. And when you go to a match, like, say it's Manchester United against Manchester City, and the other team boo every time, and everybody would support them. But if they put an English shirt on, it's completely different. So well, you would support Manchester United, but not an English player who plays for Manchester United. Is that what you're saying?
No, I actually don't support soccer at all. And, you know, Irish soccer fans, I think you'll find, have a fantastic reputation throughout the world.
They are fantastic. They are. Yeah. Amazing.
And unfortunately, English soccer fans have a bad reputation, but that's not the point I was making. The point I was making was the comments like that.
All English soccer fans are just
awful,
right?
When you just said earlier on, all the Irish, you know, the Irish have forgotten about an awful lot of it and have forgiven an awful lot of it. But it's you see, there's a difference between the English and the English team and English soccer fans. You know, you're still going on about 1966, and, you know, it's very, very hard to listen to. We don't go on about stuff. You know, that happened in the 60s. Look,
did you win the World Cup in 1966? Of course we're going to say about the one time we won the World Cup. Are we not allowed to talk?
No, of course you're allowed to.
Another form of silencing about celebrating a win of football.
Oh, no, I don't have a problem with you celebrating the win. I just think, you know, you need to understand why Irish people find it difficult to support the English team. That was just my point.
Why? No, you didn't explain why you don't want to. You just said you've moved on and everything's fine. So explain why you don't support the English team.
Because of comments like, you know, oh, of course we blew their national anthem. Why? That's extremely rude to boo somebody's national anthem.
Oh, okay. This is not rugby, this is football. This is not rugby.
It isn't rugby. And it's a pity, because it wouldn't happen at a rugby match.
Okay. You see? So there's a very different class.
Can I bring
coming out there?
Sorry, Louise.
Nothing to do with class. Nothing to
it
do
is
with class.
All to do with class when it comes to rugby and football.
Of course, really English people seem to think everything has to do with class. But
there you go. No. Wow. Okay.
Well, you're saying English people like
you're
yourself
not
seem
English
to.
And we've all moved on.
No, I'm just saying you're talking about class. I never mentioned class. I mentioned a different sport. In rugby, the players respect the referee, and that flows right on down to the supporters. Most of them. Look,
how many working class kids have access to rugby in England in school?
Can I bring in? But can you just one moment, guys? I'm going to bring in Brian. Brian, good afternoon.
Katie, good afternoon.
You're listening to Louise and Mick there.
I sure am. Yeah.
And your point.
Yeah, I just don't want to talk about politics. I want to empathise with Louise to a degree. I'm of my father's English, my mother's Irish, but I've been living here for 50 years now, I'd say, at this stage. But I still have allegiances towards England. I support Ireland as well.
Would you agree with Louise that you would not feel comfortable, you know, celebrating publicly, wearing the jersey and all that?
Well, I had the opportunity of going to my local pub, but I said there's no way I should do it because if England happened to have won last night, and they did, I could at least celebrate at home. I was actually with my daughter, so we all celebrated the England win. But I couldn't have done that in the pub because I would have been one out of maybe 200 people. And it's a bit sad, you know. But I just wanted to pick up a point, you see. They're on about the media and being so pro-English. Now, if you think back, how many times have we seen the Thierry Henry handball that took us out of the Euros or whatever? How many times have we seen the goal that Ray Houghton scored against England? Like, you know, people tend to forget about those things. England were very lucky last night. They needed a bit of luck. But really and truly, I think people should give England a bit of a push forward. I think they do deserve the credit. They're in a final. But they'll always find something to say. Oh, it was handball. It wasn't a penalty. You know, I stayed at home to celebrate that win. And don't get me wrong, I'm more Irish than I am English.
But Brian, how does that make you feel that you felt you could not celebrate in a pub, you know, watch your home team, the English team in a pub and celebrate? After 50 years living here?
Katie, I hadn't really a problem with it. I probably would have enjoyed it. But, I mean, I'm a Leicester City supporter. We won the Premier League in 2015. And back home, I had all my Leicester City flags and banners outside the house. I was proud of what happened. But, you know, I just felt I'd stay at home and watch the match and enjoy it. And I think Louise was in the same. I mean, I didn't mind staying at home because I knew with my daughter who would follow England and the kids, we had a good night. So, you know, I took the best option.
What about, Louise, you said you'd no problem with the booing and you know, obviously others would have that problem. But after the German match, There was a real backlash, and that image of that child, that little German mm-hmm. girl in the stands.
Absolutely, yeah, that was absolutely disgraceful. No real English fan would support that at all. Like, that was disgusting. And there is a minority of English fans who always let us all down, you know. And unfortunately, they're the ones that you see, do you know what I mean, and that you hear about. And of course, every English person would condemn what happened, and that's not in the spirit of the game. It's not what the game's about. It's about inclusion, and I would absolutely say that was disgusting. And I hope they feel ashamed of themselves.
Yeah, Mick.
Yeah, I'm really glad to hear you say that, Louise. But unfortunately, your comment about the national anthem doesn't suggest inclusiveness. And that's really why I rang in the first place, because I thought, oh, here we go. I'm glad to hear you say all that. And I do agree with you. It is a minority of England soccer fans that, you know, give English soccer fans that image. But it's still,
but, I mean, I'll
still
take
have
it
a problem
on board.
To say it's okay to do the national anthem.
No, I can absolutely, you know what, I can take that on board, that perhaps we should have more respect for other countries' national anthems. Perhaps other people will hear that, and hopefully it will change if it's upsetting to other countries or we don't pay enough respect to other people's anthems. I mean, nobody wants to have, on that huge stage, nobody wants to have a bad reputation or to be seen as a country that doesn't respect other countries, because I think we do. It's just, to me, I don't know, maybe I've been brought up with it. It isn't as significant as it would be to another country. I don't know.
Okay, let me bring
it. It's just such an important part of people's identity, their national anthem. Like I said earlier, you know, Irish people had huge respect for God Save the Queen, which has been played in Croke Park, and we don't need to go into all the history about that. It's also symbols of respect. You know, it's one thing to say, oh, we respect other countries, but then unfortunately when something like that happens, it looks like you don't. That's all.
But isn't Louise, Mick, can I put to you, Mick, isn't Louise entitled to feel comfortable celebrating her country's big, massive moment in footballing history in England? Isn't she? Shouldn't she feel comfortable?
Of course she is. And the other caller there who's living here for 50 years. Look, I lived in the UK
during the Troubles, and while it wasn't perfect, and while I did get some, you know, uncalled for criticism, I felt at the time, you know, if English people had been doing what the IRA were doing in Britain, they'd have been hung from lampposts here. You know, I think British people were very tolerant, and I have a lot of time for England and my time there. No, of course, Louise and anybody else is entitled to celebrate their country.
But you'd agree as well. I mean, you can imagine why you wouldn't feel comfortable in a pub last night if you were going to be cheering for that Sterling goal, or the Sterling the Kane goal that came from the Sterling penalty.
Yeah, I also think as well. It depends on what pub you're in, to be perfectly honest. But no, I can understand why somebody would feel that they probably couldn't do that. It's sad, but, you know.
Yeah.
And I disagree with it.
Let me bring in Elizabeth. Elizabeth, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Are you calling us from England, Elizabeth?
I am. I'm calling you from West Yorkshire in England.
Beautiful part of the world, Elizabeth.
It is, yes.
But you did live here.
Oh, I did. I'm from Cashel originally, and I left Cashel when I was 15 years of age. And through my married life for the last 50-odd years, my husband, who was a Yorkshireman, loved going home, as he called it. We're going home, because it was so much like Yorkshire. And all the family, you know, enjoy going home to Ireland, and still do. And obviously, our visits have been curtailed, where the whole family, including my American relatives, were going to meet up. So hopefully, please God, at the end of this month, we'll be on our way again home to Ireland.
And has your husband ever felt this anti-English sentiment?
My husband passed away 3 years ago, and in all the 50-odd years of going home, my husband classed it as going home, because the Irish people, to him, were just the same as the Yorkshire people and English people. We are a people. And as a people, we respect each other. And that's how we've always felt. And it was always classed as going home.
So when you hear Louise now talking about her feeling, and she's obviously, you know, quite upset about this, this sense that after 20 years living in Ireland, that it's still made feel that this isn't appropriate for her to support England.
Yes, I fully empathise with her. And to be honest, listening to the conversation and reliving the game last night, your comments have been about the booing at the game. It's a sport, it's football. No, not everybody in England and people that I know will condone the few that manage to do that, because we respect our neighbours. We respect our neighbours. That's how it's always been between Ireland and England. History is history, we all know that. And I think that at this present time, what amuses me, makes me frustrated actually, is listening to why people will support anybody other than England, when the history of the majority of people of Ireland, going back to the famine and beyond, if we're going to look at history of the past to make it better for the future, the majority of people, including myself, my family, and lots of families in Ireland, had to leave to come across to England to get work, to get money, to send back home to the parents and the families at home, to keep them going. And proud to do it. Proud to do it. And at the moment, that's still going on with a lot of families who have been coming over before the pandemic. They're coming over to work, and London being a particular place of attraction for work. You know, they came home, they worked over here Monday to Friday and went back home. And that was part of life in Ireland with families, and recognising there was opportunities in England.
So do you think we should, as a nation, show more gratitude for those opportunities?
I don't think gratitude is the right word. I think we should recognise that, you know, being part of a neighbour, England, that it had opportunities, it gave opportunities, as well as recognising that it went the other way as well. For instance, I mean, some of your listeners may have forgot. In 2008, when Ireland was in crisis, England gave a support of 10 billion, I repeat, 10 billion in crisis funding to help Ireland out, while Europe was dithering about it. That's what a good neighbour does. History is history, but you help the future, you help the present.
Yeah, I do think that was a loan, Elizabeth. I don't think it was a...
It was a loan, was but a I gift. Never heard of it being paid back.
Oh, no, I do think actually it was, but...
But that's a material. It was there at the time when it was needed.
Indeed.
It was there when it was time it was needed. And that's what a good neighbouring country does. And thinking about sport as a game, bringing up such issues and anguish, it really isn't worth it. It's worth it as a game. We celebrate here. We celebrate when Ireland is on. We support Ireland. The English people love to see Ireland under Jackie Charlton going over there in the European Games and in the World Cups and looked out for him as a group of people, a nation of people who supported their lives.
Can I ask you, Elizabeth, because Mick mentioned it there, you know, when you go back to the 70s and the 80s and the Troubles, and, mm-hmm. you know, there was, and when bombs were going off in, mm-hmm. in England.
Yeah.
Did you feel any backlash or did you feel uncomfortable at any time being an Irish woman living in England during those times?
No, never. In fact, I've been a local politician in my area for over 30-odd years, been given every opportunity within my political sphere. And that is how it should be. It's people that matter. There are and have been instances over the years, of course, which have been unfortunate and have caused a lot of anguish and troubles to families, all families, not exclusively just the Irish, just all families. And what we've got to try to do is recognise that it happened. How did we come out of it? And please God, we'll not go back into it again. And that's the way I have to look at things. And I hope to God that that's going to help the situations of people who feel they are in trouble. Work together. Don't let all the anguish and the frustration bring out issues that we recognise as the past. Let's work to the future.
Well said, Elizabeth. Louise, can I ask you, where are you going to watch the match on Sunday?
Probably from behind the sofa with my eyes closed with an aspirin inhaler. No, just really scared. I'll be watching it at home. Yeah, I'll watch it at home, and hopefully it'll be on BBC One, and I'll be able to watch it. I can't believe it. It's fantastic. I never thought I'd see it in my lifetime that England got to final. I really don't care at this stage if they lose. To be honest, just to get there is just a massive achievement. I'm so proud of all the team. And just to get through to the final, it's just a brilliant achievement, especially after the couple of years we've just had. It's a great lift.
Yeah, and I suppose really people, we think back to our Italia 90 days and the lift that gave, you know, everyone. People who had never seen football in their lives were, you know, caught up in that and delighted with it. You know, we should think about how that feels, Mick. Yeah,
Katie,
Mick. Or Brian.
Kate, it's Brian here. I don't know where Louise lives, but if she's anywhere near Navan, we might hook up for the final.
Oh, very good. We could go out with a hood over our heads. You know, just sort of sneak into a pub somewhere, sit at the back. I'm in Dublin, so I'll do it quietly.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the offer. You're so good.
Katie, I'm sorry. I have to go, but okay. I really do hope. I wish England well on Sunday, and I hope they win it.
Okay. Thanks.
I hope Louise is sat there enjoying the game as much as the English people do over here when Ireland is playing against another team. The Irish pubs are actually packed with English people as well supporting Ireland.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
that's how it should be. And, yeah. You know, the people that go across and have lived in Ireland, they've lived there many, many years. And they have integrated with the Irish people, which is the right way. So Louise, sit in front of the settee. I'll be sat in the front of mine here, wishing the best for the best team, as I always do when Ireland are playing England. So, you know, the division is there. You have your own country. But when it's like this, I think let's get together and just hope that sport is going to bring nations together and bring a bit of joy to everybody and not division.
Yes, and I think...
Oh, brilliant, Elizabeth. Fair play, sending you a virtual hug, which I'll see on the sofa next year.
Okay, virtual hugs all round. Good luck, Louise. Many thanks for that. We'll take a break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And a lot of people want to have their say on this. Marie, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Katie. Thanks for having me on.
That's an English accent I'm hearing.
Manchester, yeah.
And are you living here, Marie?
21 years. My parents, I was born in England of Irish parents. I met my husband, who's Irish, over there. And we've lived here now 21 years. Sometimes you get called a tan and all this sort of thing. But I sort of like, you know, brush it off and think, well, you know, it's your ignorance. But I'm really getting a bit sick of this now. You know, we'll support Denmark and we'll support Italy. And like one fellow was on, oh, it's 800 years of oppression. And they took our language. You know, I mean, get over it. It's years and years ago. People will never move on and get on. I mean, you've got to look at Northern Ireland. You know, and it just gets me down a bit. I mean, I said my parents emigrated. They had to emigrate. They had to go to England. So did plenty of my relations go to England. As my mum said, she got her living over there. Never, ever got anything said to her. I know the times, the Birmingham bombings, I mean, I don't remember them, but my mum said, you know, it's very hostile. But so it would be in any country, you know. But this, oh, the girl brought us the famine and everything. It's brought up every single time. And do you know what? Like, the fellow who was on first said, oh, they took away our language. I can tell you now, kids going to school, the first book that's dumped in the bin is the Irish book. They just can't hack it. They just don't want to learn it.
Marie, do you think that this football, this time, the Euros, and the fact that we are, you know, talking about football coming home, has that brought up a lot of stuff for people? Has it become this latent issue about feelings about England and English people?
I do. I think it's every time there is a football match. I mean, to be quite honest with you, I don't particularly like English soccer fans. I think they're rude, they're arrogant. But that's not everybody. And I think, really, it's more the fans the people in Ireland don't like, more than the team. I mean, Harry Kane's got grandparents from Galway. Declan Rice is Irish descent. Jack Grealish is Irish descent. What more do they want?
Yeah, there's four of them, including, as you say, Kane, the captain, are second and third generation Irish.
Yeah, I mean, they revered Jack Charlton, you know, when he went so far with the Irish team, and we all cheered him on, even in England. You know, but this comes up every single time. And even in the Mail the other day, Fiona Looney, a columnist, she wrote, I'll be voting for the Vikings. You know, they're the ones that I like the best, the two that invaded us, but, you know, I'll choose the Vikings. And that's media whipping it all up again. As far as I know, she was a good few years in London getting a living. And don't forget, these emigrants sent home money. The Queen's shilling. Half of them would be dead by now from starvation.
Does it really bother you, Marie, that your friends and your neighbours are overtly not supporting anybody but England?
Well, I don't know about my friends and neighbours, but I mean, I'm just going off within my own family. I mean, somebody said to my husband, why would you support England? And he said, well, why wouldn't I? He said, it was my second home. And I think a lot of these people who come on, I know I'll probably get the head off me for saying this, are ones who never left, who had to go. You know, my mum said she got her living in England. We always went back every summer. We had great fun, cousins, you know, and everything. But, you know, I feel sorry for that girl. She couldn't wear her England shirt. I mean, I see plenty of people around Manchester with Irish shirts on them.
Would you wear, do you have an English shirt?
No, I don't.
Well, have you ever watched a match, an England match in a pub here?
No.
Would
no,
you?
I never have. No, never have. But, I mean, I support the Gaelic football team, Galway, and, you know, we cheer them on and everything, you know, so...
But would you feel comfortable supporting, like, being in a pub last night for that match?
I probably wouldn't have, no, but then again, I look upon it as it's people's ignorance. People have got to move on. I mean, you know, why all this, you know, bringing it all up from history and, you know, it just seems... It's pointless in a world where we've had such a big pandemic and there's wars everywhere, and that if people got on, it would just be a lot nicer. And do you know what? You'd all feel better about yourselves. You know, I haven't. I mean, sometimes I get called, oh, go back to where you come from and all this sort of thing. But I think back to where I come from. You know, my parents are Irish, so.
Do people say that to you? Go back to where you come from.
I've had it when I come here first, yeah, from somebody.
Because it strikes me that it's almost like, well, what do you expect for, you know, when people make these remarks about English people? But if you said that about any other race of people, it would be considered outrageous racism.
Yeah, but I mean, I've there's a lot of time Polish people were told to go back. They were taking all our jobs and all this sort of thing. But they're forgetting all the Irish who went to England. The English never said, oh, you're taking all our jobs, because they were glad of people.
I think they did a bit in fairness as well, Marie. There was a time when English people, it was the no Irish, no dogs.
And no blacks. Well, the blacks had it as well. The Caribbean people had it.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't just, oh, let's pick on the Irish type of thing. It was the coloured people as well. You know, African, you know, people from Jamaica. Mm-hmm. They had all that as well. You know, but it just seems to be this real, oh God, you know, let's get one over on them and, you know.
I suppose a lot of people say it's just that the whole football and the paraphernalia around football and all that. Let's have another quick listen. This is what's driving people crazy. Marie, I think people think they've just, it's too much. There's too much.
Yeah, there is. I mean, that, to be honest with you, that gets on my nerves, you know. And I mean, look, you haven't got to the final yet. You haven't won anything yet, but.
Do you think we should, as a nation, get behind England for Sunday?
I think just say, yeah, well, I'd like to see them win. I mean, you know, why not? I mean, hatred is an awful thing. I mean, people wouldn't say, oh, it's hate. I hate them. But, you know, it can always fester. And it always seems to be when England's in a competitive game. And yet all around here, there's nothing but Liverpool jerseys.
Yeah.
That's what makes me laugh. And you can get on a plane and it's packed with fans going to Anfield or Old Trafford.
Let me bring in Alan. Alan, good afternoon.
Hi, Katie.
I see you're half and half.
I am, yeah. I've probably been over here now more than I was living in England.
You were born in England, though?
I was born in England, and I moved over to Ireland when I was 13.
Right.
And I'm 34 now, so.
Okay. So who do you support?
Unlike some of your other listeners now, they seem to have a one or the other. I would really consider myself now to be 50-50. And I at least try to look at things logically. I might not always end up that way, but I always try and look at both perspectives. And I would happily cheer England whenever they're playing a game, and I just as happily cheer Ireland when they're playing their games.
Do you think Irish people should cheer England? You know,
no,
when they're not playing Ireland.
I don't actually think they should. I think it's good, especially in sport, to have a healthy rivalry. And I don't think, if you compare it to England, I don't think you get too many England fans cheering on, say, Germany because of history and probably similar enough reasons. But I just don't think that the level of abruptness goes the same as it does here.
Yeah, it runs deep.
Yeah. I heard a previous caller saying that they didn't know anything about it before they moved over. I was exactly the same. Now, maybe that's the fault of the English schools. We won't get into that here. But I didn't know anything about the history. And I said I moved over when I was 13, and I got a quick wake-up call about the history and things behind it. And, like, I was just pure teenager, pure naive. I didn't know anything about all this. And, as I say, I got quickly introduced to everything. Like, nothing too bad. I didn't get beat up or anything, but I got plenty of reminders, put it that way.
And what did that feel like getting though? I mean, did you feel that you were kind of carrying the can for, as we keep saying, 800 years of oppression?
Yeah, I absolutely did. And because I was at a tender enough age when you're susceptible to things like that, like, it's kind of kept with me. And like you say, I wasn't there at the time when all these things were happening. It seems a bit unfair then that you used to take the brunt of it. And the way I'm saying, I try and look at things from both perspectives. Your previous caller there, I think we're probably singing from the same hymn sheet, but the way she was saying, just to get over the things that happened, like, I don't really think that's the right approach. Like, if someone said something similar to me and just said, get over it, I wouldn't take that too well. Now,
well, I don't mean get over it, but I mean, it's going on for years and years and years, and you have to look like how well a lot of the Irish done in England. You know, the construction firms, like, they got all chances. I mean, if there was English people so, like, so anti-Irish, they wouldn't have been given the chance. You know,
yeah, well,
I'm looking at it from an economic point of view as well. But I mean, as I said before, I don't particularly like the English supporters. I think they're rude, they're arrogant. But I mean, then it's all whipped up into a big media frenzy. You know, we always supported, funnily enough, we used to support Ireland in England when we were younger. And then that comes from your parents type of thing. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah.
You would do, but, you know, if Ireland were playing, I don't know, Holland or something, I'd support Ireland. You'd want them to win. You'd love them to win.
I try and keep the politics and sports separate, which is why I think I was saying that I don't particularly mind people not wanting England to win, because they're rivals at the end of the day. You're not going to cheer for your rival. Certainly not.
But if England and Italy are the only two left in it, as they are, in that scenario, would you think it would be, you know, a 50-50 split at least in Ireland?
I definitely don't think it's as bad as it used to be. Like, I have friends now who are openly supporting England, and things are definitely improving. Now, things like Brexit and that, which...
Alan, sir. I love the way you're saying they're openly supporting. It's as if it's something kind of...
Oh, it's like coming out of the closet or something,
exactly,
isn't it? Yeah, but it's
coming out of the closet as somebody who can support England. It's not something you can do lightly, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I know it's a big step, and it really seems like it. And I was so stunned when some people, friends of mine who I never thought would cheer England, are actually doing it now. Like, we've things like WhatsApp groups going there, like I'm sure everyone has, and people are saying, come on, England. They're not afraid to actually say it now. I'm sure there was a few in the past that didn't mind, as in Irish people that supported England, but they were probably too scared to say it for good reason.
Yeah. I think younger people especially are just sort of like looking at it as a game, and they're not thinking back to, you know, to history. You know, if we all held grudges like that, you know...
But, Marie, I mean, really strikes me what you said there, Marie, though, because a lot of the people on that team obviously are playing on teams that young people and old people support week in, week out in the Premiership.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
And the idea that suddenly they become somebody you can't shout for because they're wearing an England jersey.
Yeah.
The difference is there, though, that when you're dealing with the clubs, there's no politics, and it's just...
True.
My club is better than your club, or I like my club better than your club. But when it comes to countries, then all these other topics kept getting brought into the conversation.
Which is, I suppose, what makes the Euros and the World Cup and all those international competitions.
I kind of see where you're coming from, but it's still a sport at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And I know that's probably me with ideologic thinking, but I suppose that's the way we'd love to see it be, you know.
Yeah, will you stay with us, Alan and Marie? I want to take a quick break, but we'll come back to this.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815. Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
I want to bring in Betty now. Betty Mitchell, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie.
You're hopping mad, Betty.
I am hopping mad, Katie. Katie, I've lived over here. It's at that gentleman, John, that who was on... criticising Louise. I'm thoroughly behind her, and I couldn't say any more than what Elizabeth said. It is really and truly, we can't forget the past. We all know what's happened. But I've lived in England since 1958. I was right in the middle of the Birmingham bombings. I just passed in my car on the Thursday night that bomb went off the tavern in the town. The next day I got up and I went into Birmingham to do carry on doing my job. I was visiting hotels. I was a sales representative, and I was not one of the people there. They all knew me as Irish, and not one had a wrong word to say. They just said, oh, it's so sad, Betty, to see what's happening, you know. Of course they'd be outraged at what was happening. But as Louise has said, it's a game of football. Let's get on with the football and leave the rest to history and just pray for all of us to come together. The world is in such a state now. It's not division we want, it's unity.
I wonder, Betty, has Brexit got something to do with it? Has it made things worse?
No, I honestly don't think so, Katie. I've got, my son lives in Ireland, and he's, again, so 50%, his dad was English, I was from Dublin. And he said, passed that comment about how he treated as an English person in Ireland by some people, not everybody. When it came to the football, and I don't know a lot about sport because I don't like it, first of all. And
but your son would have felt some of what, like Alan was saying there, like he was 13 when he came.
Yes, and he's still classed. Katie, I moved back to Kenmare some years ago with my husband, Paddy. And I mean, you were classed, and I hate the expression, as a blow-in. I've never heard that expression said about anybody in Irish coming over to England. And yeah. When I came over to England, I was only just before my 18th birthday in 1958, and I sent money home to my family, to my mum and to my dad, every week without fail. And, I mean, I wouldn't have been able to do that if I hadn't come over here to work.
And
It's a time, Katie, politics, religion, to leave all our prejudices behind and just stand up to be good, wholesome, friendly neighbours.
Are you surprised when you're hearing what Louise was saying? And you know?
Oh, no, I'm not surprised. But I told you, my son said this to me a couple of years ago. I mean, I'm over backwards and forwards to Ireland all the time. But the fact of the matter is, my son, he was working here in England, and then he married an Irish girl, and he went back home to work in Ireland. He gets on wonderful with the thing, but there are the few people who just don't like it because he's English. Well, he's not English, he's half and half.
Yeah, I mean, it's not okay, really, this, is it? It's not okay that people should feel...
God Almighty's sake, in the name of all that's holy, we're supposed to be working towards unity in religion, in politics, instead of blaming each other all the time. I mean, it went on, we know what went on. My own grandfather in Dublin was shot by the Black and Tans in both knees. Well, you didn't go on keep harping on it. You know, my husband Paddy, his grandparents were burnt out of their business and home in Belfast just because they were Catholics. And it's about time it all stopped, even with the football. For God's sake, people, get a grip.
Betty, stay there, will you? I want to bring in Catherine. Catherine, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, where do you stand on this one, Catherine?
Well, to be quite honest with you, I think your caller, was it Julia or...
Louise
should not be ashamed to wear her English jersey in any pub, because I have three sons and they follow Liverpool. I don't follow any Premiership division teams, but I like watching the European Championships. I'm a major follower of rugby. And I will give you my background in that. My grandfather was in Croke Park in 1920 when the Black and Tans invaded, and he ran for his life with my two late uncles. They were children, and he ran the canal. And he taught me my history, apart from what I've read and have continued to read up to date.
So
my problem is with fans. I have to say, for that lady to turn around and say, you know, it's okay to boo any national anthem. it's not okay in my books. I think it's a mark of respect, just as we showed when England came to play in Croke Park, which was sacred territory to us.
Well, for your family, absolutely, Catherine.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, for a lot of people, it was a turning point. And I really think Martin Johnson was the captain of the rugby team at the time. And he actually went and he stood on the red carpet that Mary McAleese had to walk on the grass. And he showed total disrespect for our president. And there wasn't a frenzy of boos from the people in Croke Park Stadium. They treated the national anthem with respect. They stood. They mightn't have sung God Save the Queen, but they actually treated in the best manner. And I think the Europe is awash with the love for the Irish because of the way they go about their way when they travel abroad. And even if Ireland was playing in the Euros, I mean, Irish fans are renowned for their hospitality, their goodness. They're not in the media for breaking up cities or wrecking places, as the English fans are.
Would you, you say you're not following Premiership, but you're watching the Euros. Will you support England on Sunday?
No.
That's very firm, Catherine.
Oh, no, I'll be truthful. I admire Gareth Southgate. I like Harry Kane and the four Irish people. I don't think they deserved the penalty last night. I really was up for the Danes, and in particular, I don't have any affiliation.
But wasn't England the better team? I know the controversy, and if I put it that way around, the dive, if some people are calling it, that got them that penalty. But they were the better team on the night in the round, though, were they not?
I would say in the latter half of extra time, yes, they showed more energy. But I think that came from the fact that they got the penalty, which was not deserved.
Right.
Excuse me, Katie.
Betty.
Katie.
Yes.
Dan Higgins was over here a couple of years ago. They had a great celebration in London and in the Albert Hall with the royal family, and they played the Irish national anthem, and everybody was delighted about it. No, I mean, I think whatever is going on in football, I just don't understand that. It's only yobs who have this attitude, as far as I'm concerned. Any decent, self-respecting person will respect their neighbours, their friends. Regardless, they might have different views and opinions. But I can also say to you, Katie, about 20 years ago, I went home to Ireland and I got a taxi in from Dublin Airport. The taxi driver, he was so abusive about the Polish people. And I pulled him up on it. When I got out of the taxi, he said, now, normally at that time, it was £9, I think it was, for the taxi from Dublin Airport into Stony Batter. And when I got out of the taxi in Viking Road, he said, £25, whatever it was, punts or euros at the time. And I said, I beg your pardon. I said, you're going on about people coming from Poland, asking, you know, taking up your living. And what are you doing? I said, you're robbing your own. Now, I said, I'm going to give you what I know the normal fare is. I said, it's normally £7, which it was about that time. And I asked anyone else to contradict me on that. And he wanted £25 for me. I sent him off with a flea in his ear.
Sorry for interrupting, but I have to say that is one experience you had. I am talking about...
No. It's not just...
Hang on a minute, experience. I didn't interrupt you. So please be mannerly and courteous and allow me time to answer what you have just spoken about.
Catherine, are you on speakerphone?
I am, yes.
Would you mind putting the phone to your ear if you can? Because it just, for sound,
okay. It
would work better for
better?
Us. That's better, Catherine. Thanks.
Given the history of British fans over the time, right, everything that made the headlines during European Cups, the World Cups, everything, was the British fans. The English fans tearing up, causing mayhem everywhere. They did it in our own stadium here, when Ireland was beating them 1-0,
and they tore and they threw. I know the National Front is a huge part of the British legion that go abroad, and I mean the fans.
Okay, we won't say, just Catherine, Catherine, can we just say not a huge part? I mean, we know that there are elements there, yeah.
And giving a good, you know, representation of ourselves. We don't go tearing up stadiums. We have a hoolie, and that's the way it is. Even and I have to say,
agree with you.
I cried when Jack Charlton died because he was a wonderful manager and such a great manager of an Irish team and so beloved of the Irish. It's not a hatred towards the English at all. It is just a hatred towards the behaviour and the arrogance to think that people should boo another country's national anthem. And I have to say, my sympathies were with, you know, the Danes because of your man Ericsson and what happened. And I admired the team for the way they rallied together, and they had a terribly tough time. And I admired their stoic behaviour.
I think a lot of people did, Catherine. I think a lot of people's hearts were with Denmark for that reason alone, because they had been through such an emotional roller coaster in this.
Yes.
I'm going to have to take another break. Stay with us.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Mary, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're up there in Sligo?
I am, yes.
Were you watching the match last night?
Some of it. The end of it.
Yeah.
But a half an hour before the match, I thought, what can I do for England, who did so much for me? And so I went upstairs and I took a white pillowcase out of my white pillowcase drawer, brought downstairs outside, and I had a tin of red paint. And I painted a cross on it, the English flag. And I went outside on the road and I put it on the wall. I have it secured with a bit of brick one side and a piece of marble the other.
Fair
and that's my that's my contribution to the wonderful win for England. You know, it's only a football match and people are losing the run of themselves.
When and, you say what England did for you, what did England do for
you? Well,
you
know, I trained to be a nurse, but in those years, I wouldn't have had hope of, hell of ever getting into a hospital trained to be a nurse in Ireland. I mean, because first of all, you have to pay, and secondly, you have to have an uncle, a priest or an aunt, a nun, or that sort of thing. That's how ancient it was. But, you know, I had a lovely time, and I love the English people, and... you know, and it's at the end of the day. Normally, I probably would have supported Denmark because I love Denmark as well. It's just the country. I'm not in the least bit interested in football. But it's just the night that was in it. And I said, I have friends and relations in England. And, you know, what can I do to support them? Because there wouldn't be a flag anywhere, you know. My husband at first thought it was the Danish flag. Because it's got a blue cross.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And he wasn't so distressed.
How did your husband take this?
Not too bad. He didn't take it down anyway. It's still out there. Right. So he's getting teased from the neighbours and his buddies.
I was going to say, and what are the neighbours saying about it?
Well, nothing really. I'll have to wait for another while to find out for definite.
And you have no issue at all of flying that England flag?
I myself, no, I haven't. Not in the least. No, good luck to them, and I hope they win.
And you hope they win against Italy on Sunday?
I do, yeah. And I've no favourites, but I look on them as my neighbour, England, and they're our nearest country. I'm very proud of the women who have phoned in, particularly the women who had emigrated from Ireland to England. Particularly the lady who had gone to England when she was 15, and the English first lady who rang in. Mm-hmm. And I wish them well and very proud of them.
Betty?
Yes.
Betty, I'd like to say to the other lady who was talking about the national anthem and the yobs and the foot, I was equally as critical of the terrible behaviour of the English fans. I always have been. You know, if one of them were my sons, they'd got a good clatter across the ear,
yeah,
because of the conduct that carries on. But that is the you know, there are people who are just want to cause trouble. But that's there true. Are
yeah.
my grandsons, my great-grandsons. The joy here last week when England got through, my one grandson, I jived with him here on Sunday afternoon. He was so excited because he'd been down to Wembley. And he said, oh, Nan, he said, the atmosphere was just magic, he said. Now, Carl is 32 years of age. And he said, when they played that Neil Diamond song, Sweet Caroline. So I said, right, let's get it up on the Alexa. So I brought it in here to the dining room. And we had to jive, the two of us. He couldn't get over it. That's why I said, let's jive to it. He was so pleased. And they're still so excited.
But of course, it is the first time. I mean, that was Louise's point. She's in her 50s, and it was her first time to see her team come to, you know, get to a final of a major.
Right. Yet she doesn't recall the other, the last time it all happened and what went on with football. But honestly, Katie, I wouldn't condone thuggery or people being abusive. In any field in life, any field, we've all got to live together, try and make it a better world. We've seen what COVID has done to us all, you know, and now it's a time for, truly for making peace with each other in our hearts, our minds, our spirits, and most of all, our attitudes.
Well said, Betty. On that note, I'll have to take our last break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And that's all we have time for today. Today's programme was produced by Sian O'Gorman. On sound, we had Dave Gibson. And our BCO today was Daniel Keating. And I just want to apologise for what they're making me play at the end of this show. It's coming.
Visit your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.